there, folks, and welcome to Christ in Every Word, a podcast of the Concordia Bible Institute, housed on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin. This is your opportunity to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the sacred scriptures with me, Dr. Brian Gurman, Associate Professor of Theology here at the University, and the Director of the Concordia Bible Institute. We are making our way through what I've been calling the top 40 texts. If I had to sit down and say, what are the top 40 that every Christian just must know about the Bible, especially in this age of biblical illiteracy or alliteracy, rather, you got to know these 40. And the next one up, the one today, is just one of my favorites, but I don't know how well known it is, Proverbs 8. Yikes. Proverbs. I mean, just are these little, what's in Proverbs? Just these little sayings, you know, fortune cookie kind of early bird gets the worm kind of thing. In Proverbs, the fascinating thing about Proverbs is we get this discussion about what wisdom is. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and so on. There are a lot of father-son speeches. My son, don't despise the Lord's instruction. What's wisdom like? Well, there's a lot of father-son speeches, but in two places in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a lady, Lady Wisdom. Sometimes she's contrasted with Lady Folly. Lady Folly is usually like a prostitute trying to call simple-minded people in, hey, you know, what are you doing? Come over here, and that kind of thing. Lady Wisdom, there are two places where we get a speech from Lady Wisdom. And why Lady, by the way, the word wisdom in Hebrew is chokmah, it's feminine. And so you get feminine pronouns associated with that. And so it's a feminine word. And you have wisdom speaking as a person in a couple places. And this one in Proverbs 8 is a kind of culmination of wisdom speaking. And boy, does it sound like maybe more than just a simple little attribute called wisdom. I'll say more about that soon. But the reason I just think this was one of the most heavily debated and discussed texts in the entire early church. Anybody who was anybody was talking about Proverbs 8. I don't know who knows it now. And in fact, when I read that, I don't know. I mean, do we ever hear this in church? Not really. You know, and that sort of thing. But at the same time, just think with me about why this might have been the case. I'll just leave it as that. I'll say more about it later. But why might this be so heavily discussed? Let me read it. Proverbs 8. I'm going to start at verse 22 and go to the end, verse 36. So let me just read it and go from there. So, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Alrighty, so there we have the text of Proverbs 8. I guess at a macro level, did you sense anything happening? Probably start with this, and that is, first, the wisdom is speaking. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of war. Okay, this is wisdom relationship to God. Okay, so wisdom speaking about that kind of relationship. But then at the end, verse 32 and following, what happens? Wisdom starts addressing the reader. And now, O sons, listen to me. Okay? So we have this kind of like two-part thing going on first. I guess at the end of the day, the question that I'm most interested in is, well, okay, wisdom is speaking, right? This is, my students kind of have to think through this a little bit. Like, who, what? Okay, so it's not God, but wisdom, okay, who's that or why, what in the, what is, I suppose more than anything we could think through, the question would be this, what is wisdom's relationship to God, right? Is wisdom just like one of God's attributes, like his goodness, his power, his glory, and his wisdom, like he's really smart, right? Or is wisdom here more than just an attribute of God? Is wisdom, wisdom here being personified, right? Is it just a personification of wisdom? Or is there more, or is wisdom, I mean, can we rev it up a notch and say wisdom is a person? And even more than just a person in the sense of flesh and blood, but a person in high places, one with the Lord kind of person. And if so, finally, to whom does that refer? So you can kind of maybe get a sense already of like why this was so heavily debated. Think about some, okay, so let's just do this. The wisdom's, what is wisdom's relationship to God? How do they relate? Because it seems like two different things going on. The Lord possessed me ages ago. I was set up before the, when there, so, okay, there's the Lord and there's wisdom, right? The Lord possessed me. Now this, I love how this starts because the very first verb in all of this, possessed, is a weird verb. It means to acquire or to own or even to bring forth. It's associated with activity in the womb in some cases. It's kana. It means Cain. Like when Eve has Cain, she says, I've caned a man, therefore I'll name him Cain. I've caned a man with the help of the Lord. I've kana, I've acquired, I've Cain, and so they call him Cain from the verb kana, which means I've gotten, I possess, I've in the sense of bringing forth. And that's kind of related to what these other verbs are. If you look down, the Lord possessed me. So the relationship is one of possession, very, very close, like association, possession. The beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old, ages ago I was set up, literally formed or established. It's the word in Psalm 2 for when the Lord places his king on his holy hill. In some cases, it means like formed. It can be used for forming an individual. Set up at the first, before the beginning, of the, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. What does brought forth mean? What comes to mind again? Well, that's womb stuff. Brought forth, being born. When there were no springs of water abounding, no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Again, times two, it's repeated, brought forth. So I guess the point here, just right out of the gate, is in the first few verbs, possessed, set up, brought forth, again, that's repeated, the relationship between wisdom and God is very close, very intimate, one of begottenness. These are all birthing terms, or carry birthing connotations, you might say, brought forth and formed, set up, possessed, acquired, kana, came, brought forth. Wisdom is related to God as a relationship of begottenness, begotten of God. When? Before all worlds. At the beginning of his work, the first of his acts, does this sound like creation talk, right? When you hear the word beginning throughout this text, Proverbs 8, that's the same word that's used, the beginning of the Bible, first word of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So here's wisdom saying, I was begotten by the Lord, possessed, set up, brought forth, and so on. The first of his acts of old, like beginning, before the beginning of the earth, verse 28. Like this is before creation, before the earth, before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Jumping ahead a little bit, aren't I? When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Again, all these terms you can kind of plot from Genesis 1, right? Beginning, depths, right? Water, spirit hovering over the water. And that goes on. Dust, right? Deep. Skies and all these things. This is all Genesis 1 stuff. But here's wisdom speaking of, I mean, it's like another creation account in a way. Genesis 1 gives you a creation account, but here's wisdom saying, well, let me give you another angle on Genesis 1. I'll tell you all sorts of things. I'll tell you what I was doing with God throughout that Genesis 1 business. Before any of that creation of heaven and earth, I was brought forth. Wisdom says I was actually begotten from God, before there were any springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he made the earth with its field, or the first of the dust of the world. And I take this to be a reference to humanity, a reference to the creation of Adam before the creation of humanity. When he established the heavens, I was there. I pre-existed creation. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that its waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him. So I was there before any of this came into being. I was in that Genesis 1 text because I was in the bosom of God himself before all this creation happened. And we'll learn soon, he was part of this creation. I was beside him like a master workman. He had a hand in all of this, all that Genesis 1 stuff. Wisdom had a hand in the creation of all that stuff. Not only just pre-existed all of it, that'd be one thing, just say, well, I was there before all that. But to be a master workman is to be involved in that. The word, it's a weird word, this master workman in verse 30, it means like an architect. It's the word for architect. Like you think about a guy drafting plans, drawing and drafting and planning and working and executing. This master workman, couldn't God do this himself? Wisdom here said, I was like a master workman next to him. I was involved in the whole project, all this stuff. By the way, I take that to be the, did you notice as we went along here, we had depths, and then springs, and then waters, and then mountain, hills, fields, dust. What else do we have? So you get kind of an up, down, up, down, up, down, depths, mountains, dust. What else is there? Heavens, okay, high stuff, deep, skies, deep, sea, earth. We get up, down, left, right, all over the place. Wisdom was involved that not a single thing, up, down, left, right, of creation is outside of wisdom's purview and outside of wisdom's making. He had his handiwork in all of this. I was beside him. I was there, and I was beside him like a master workman by whom all things were made. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. This verse brings chills to my spine. One of my favorites in the entire thing. Why is that? Cliffhanger, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back in just a moment to the Concordia Bible Institute podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to have you consider this question. What is most important in higher education? How do you prioritize all the knowledge to be gained at an institution of higher learning? Concordia University, Wisconsin, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Mequon, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee, is an institution that is committed to excellence in learning, but at the same time realizes that excellence in itself is insufficient without development in vocation. We believe that God works through our vocations, our callings, in order to serve the needs of those around us. The mission statement of Concordia University puts it this way: Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and the world. You can learn more about the over 70 programs offered at Concordia by visiting the website, www.cuw.edu. And if you're benefiting from our Christ in Every Word podcast, I encourage you to support this ministry by mentioning it to others and by offering your monetary support. Please consider supporting the Concordia Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on the contribute page. And now, back to the podcast.
Alrighty there, folks. We are back with our study of Proverbs chapter 8. I love this one. Again, the students are kind of, when they look at this, I don't know if they always know what to make of it. Some have remarked to me that it's a little more confusing than the others, just because you have different speakers. Like, I mean, clearly God is being referred to by wisdom, so it's like, who's saying this? And then some just jump right in and say, boy, it sounds kind of like Jesus. And I just smile, and it's great to do what I do and teach this. One of my favorite verses here in this whole thing: I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. I asked at the beginning, what is wisdom's relationship to God? How do they relate? Well, it's one of begottenness. Kind of made that point earlier, but here, and one of a co-worker, you might say, master workman. I was beside him as a master workman. But here you also get some insight that I think is just, I mean, you don't get this from Genesis 1, that's for sure. And that is, I was daily his delight. Okay, God delighting in wisdom daily. Okay, God regularly delighting in wisdom. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always. Now, wisdom is rejoicing before God. Okay, so God delighting in wisdom, wisdom delighting in God, rejoicing in his inhabited world. Okay, first of all, this word rejoicing is the word for yidzek. It's Isaac. Yidzek, it means to laugh, to play, rejoicing, to skip, to frolic around a little bit. This is the kind of relationship. He's a wisdom. God delights in wisdom. Wisdom delights in God. And then the term is repeated, rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of man. Wisdom delighting, laughing, playing, rejoicing also in humanity. Of everything in the... So first of all, the relationship between God and wisdom, delighting, playing, wisdom yidzacking, skipping and playing and rejoicing before God, God rejoicing in his begotten wisdom. And so also wisdom of everything in all creation is rejoicing, not in how cool the stars are and all of that, right? Rejoicing in you. Most delighted, most yidzacking, laughing and playing and so eagerly delighted in who you are. That's fascinating. That you can't get from Genesis 1. That you can't pay for that. I mean, that is just, that's profound. The relationship between God and his begotten wisdom and how wisdom sees us. Yidzacking in his inhabited world, delighting. The culmination of the delight is in humanity. It's in you. It's in me. Now, everything takes a turn, which is fascinating, right? Because verse 32, it's like, well, once that's established, if that's the case, if this is what we're working with, the relationship between God and wisdom, then, oh my, I guess wisdom then is one with God. This begotten from God wisdom is is also divine, because look at what happens. And now, O sons, listen to me. Wisdom, blessed are those who keep my ways. Wait a minute. Whoa. We're supposed to keep God's ways. Listen to me. God gives the commands before. Now it's wisdom. Wisdom is speaking like God. Hear instruction, be wise, don't forget it. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Like, wait a minute. No, I thought this is, oh my. We're supposed to be listening to God. You're saying things that you are speaking as if you are God. Listen to me. Keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Wait a minute. I thought, so there's still the Lord involved in all this, but wisdom is saying, you find me, you listen to my ways, and you'll be in favor with the Lord. No one comes to the Lord except by wisdom. No one has favor except through wisdom brings that favor, is linked to the favor from Yahweh, from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. This is a fascinating, wisdom is one with God. And wisdom speaks. First thing up, this is like Psalm 22, Psalm 51. What's the first thing up? And now, O sons, listen to me. Wisdom speaks. Wisdom comes with a word that must be kept. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Wisdom has ways. First thing up, should we do a bunch of things for you? Listen to me. That's hear instruction and be wise. Notice all the emphasis on hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Listen to this word. Receive this word made flesh. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Again, all this emphasis on speech. This is how you'll be on good terms with me, and this is how you ultimately obtain favor from the Lord. Listen to me. Watch daily at my gates. Wait beside my doors. Now, that's awesome. What does that bring to mind for you when you hear, how do you watch daily at wisdom's gates? Let me put it this way, that wisdom has gates and doors. What does that suggest about wisdom? Gates and doors? There is this realm where wisdom is that is closed off if we don't listen to him? Gates and doors, those are some very physical, just think about wisdom in your heart sort of thing. Gates and doors, the very physical, cities have gates and doors, houses, properties, right? Dwelling places, gates and doors. Wisdom as accessible in physical, tangible places, gates and doors. Watching daily, regularly keep your eyes on gates and doors, this place where I dwell, waiting beside my door. Keep the place where I dwell central in your life, in your watching, in your waiting. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Wait, way and truth and life and favor with God all come by means of wisdom. He who fails to find me injures himself, literally does violence to his soul. All who hate me love death. Couple things. One, you don't want anything to do with wisdom. You are injuring your soul. There's profound injury, brokenness that happens if you don't want anything to do with this wisdom. He who fails to find me, if you don't want anything to do with where I dwell, if you don't want anything to do with listening to me, it's injury to the soul. Hurt, pain, suffering of the soul. And all who hate me love death. Here's the other thing. There's no middle ground. You're with wisdom or you're with the other side. You're with death. You're with life or you're with death. There's no middle ground there. Wisdom leads to life. Anything else is ultimately going to lead to destruction. I don't care how great it feels. I don't care how rich it makes you or whatever the case. If you don't want anything to do with wisdom, it is a path of destruction. There are only two ways, the way of life and the way of death. And no one has life, no one comes to God the Father except through wisdom. Except waiting by his doors, receiving wisdom in the place where wisdom has chosen to dwell, listening, believing, teaching, confessing what wisdom has to say, receiving wisdom incarnate, wisdom enfleshed, body, blood, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. I mentioned earlier why this was such a big deal. You can imagine, okay, so the Old Testament, there you have it, Psalms, Proverbs, all these books. Jesus comes along, and you have this idea of, wait a minute, Jesus was the suffering servant. Jesus was the one of Psalm 22. Jesus was, oh my, Proverbs 8. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work. When you start reading texts like John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Oh my. Proverbs 8 talked about this the whole time. What is wisdom's relationship with God? Is wisdom the pre-incarnate Christ? And that was the big thing in the early church, and that is, with the majority view, they came down and said, yeah, that is the case. What is so fascinating, because it's not even really quoted in the New Testament so much as it's being mined for its own contribution, its own testimony to the person and work of Christ. This is why I love this text so much, is that you just can't get this exactly in these terms, of course, anywhere else. Now, you can kind of, John 1 again is, okay, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus as the Word made flesh. He was with God, was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, Word was God. All things made through that Word, the Word becomes flesh. Okay, so one with God. But Proverbs 8 is its own unique window into not only Christ's relationship with God the Father, I was a master workman, I was daily his delight, but also his relationship with us, rejoicing before them always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, delighting in the children of man. I mean, the early church was all over this to say, this is such a rich text for its witness to the person and work of Christ. The life of God and the begottenness of his Son, wisdom, enfleshed in the person of Christ, and how we live in him, the salvation we have in him, the faith that comes by hearing, the life that comes by his body and blood, in the place where wisdom incarnate dwells among us, tabernacle still, in his word, in his water, bread, wine, and so on. This is a fascinating window into who God is, who his Son is, and how we have life in him. Christ in every word. In other words, Proverbs 8, a good example of it. One of my favorites. Hey, that's all the time we have for this session of Christ in every word. But tune in next time. We'll keep cruising through the top 40 texts. The mission of the Concordia Bible Institute is to provide Christ-centered Bible instruction from distinguished experts who teach Christ in every word of the Old and New Testaments to strengthen faith and spread belief in the one true God. Again, if you benefit from this podcast series, I encourage you to consider supporting the Bible Institute by going to our website, www.concordiabible.org, and clicking on our contribute page. Until next time, my friends, I'm Dr. Brian Gurman wishing you all God's blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord.